21, Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus said these words, and I don't care if you're a religious person or if you're not a religious person, if you've read a lot of the Bible and Scripture before, if you haven't read a lot of Scripture, if you like to draw up your own kind of philosophy of operating, it doesn't matter. These words ring true. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. For instance, just to show you how this works, if you buy a new boat, and I don't know what you're into, I'm just trying to throw a few examples out, but if you buy a new boat and you get one with all the bells and whistles, you're going to invest a lot of money into that boat. Now, you may wish that you could catch more bass with your new boat, and maybe it will help you do that, maybe not. But let's say that you love to fish, and you need this boat to help you fish, and you need a 750-horsepower motor to get across Cedar Lake in about a second, okay? You're going to invest a lot of money in this boat, and you're going to have several places that you can anchor one of your 92 poles, because by golly, you're not good at fishing, but you will get a hold of a bass simply by populating the entire lake with all your poles. You're going to have a very comfortable seat on this boat. And it can't just be comfortable. It's got to be like leather clad. And it's got to have gold trim on it with your initials. In case anyone else should swim up and try and sit in that seat, they should know it's yours. But you invest in this boat, and you invest in all the accessories for it. Well, guess what you're going to need to do? Use that boat. And pretty soon you're saying, yeah, I really need to take a day off and make use of the boat. It's a gorgeous day, weather like this, and I just know the bass are out there, and I haven't caught one in over a year, but with my new boat, it's going to happen. And you say, I'm going to take a day off, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to use my boat all day. So I've used a vacation day, and I got out on my boat, and the next thing you know, you're like, wow, well, I probably could have used that vacation day otherwise, but you know, the thing is, I won't be able to use the boat next week, so I'm going to need to invest in a tarp to cover it, and you do that, and you park it on your drive, and well, I just don't feel secure about the way I'm getting it in, so I'm going to buy a better crank and a few pads to protect, and well, while it's on the drive, I'm going to want a security light for it, and do you see how this happens? I mean, maybe this isn't you, maybe somebody's going, geez, he's been watching me, but you throw so much into this boat, and the next thing you know, it's a beautiful day, again, like this, and you say, I couldn't use the boat last week, and I sure have invested in it. I better take off. Ah, there's no time to take off. Oh, I forgot. I promised Club X, Y, and Z I'm going to be there on Saturday. I'd probably miss a Sunday service and go out on the boat. I'll pray. I'll pray, God, please help me catch a bass. It's like a worship service on my boat. In fact, just to make sure, I better invest in like a cross in a little chapel area that I can set up on. Yeah, great. And the next thing you know, that boat has taken your time and your vacation and your money. And it's taken your energy and your heart is with that boat. To the point that, and you're grateful right now that we're in the middle of Indiana, and it is terrible. I do not in any way mean to make light of what's happened on the East Coast. To the point that should a hurricane come through, and again, it won't here, but you've invested enough into this boat that should a hurricane come through, I know whether you would speak it or not, one of the first things you'd think is, I hope my boat will be okay. That's half funny and half true, because what you've done is taken your time, your energy, your money, and you've invested it in this boat, and your heart is with that boat. Am I wrong? Of course I'm not wrong. I'm a pastor, for crying out loud. Most of you are laughing because you know how untrue that is. But it happens the same way with, let's just pick another thing. I don't know what your thing is. How about vehicles? Now, Bill, I know that you like cars, okay? I'm not picking on you, Bill. I'm just trying to draw up a scenario that someone could fall into. Honest to goodness, like, there's no ill intention in any of these things. If you happen to own a boating store and you have the bet, I'm not picking on, I'm just trying to hit examples. But so you get a car. And it's not just a car. You bought a pretty nice car. Odds are, you didn't go to the used car lot and pay $500, $1,000, $2,000 for it. Okay? You dropped $1,000 on this car. And you want to have this car that you dropped that on exactly right. If you're going to invest, Might as well go all the way. So you get a custom paint job on it. You get it in the perfect color, which happens to be purple, with a racing stripe in the perfect color, which happens to be gold. And you love your new purple and gold car that cost you $1 million plus the paint job on it. But what if you're driving down the road and you're at a stoplight and someone will try and sit in the seat? Well, you've got to get the seat leatherized and get your initials on it. And that way they know it's not theirs, just like it matches your boat. Maybe you've got both. I don't know. And you invest in that, and you think, I don't have the money right now, but if I save up, I'll be able to get those blinding halogen headlights, those LED neon freon halogen super bright, like no one else can see on the road because you got your headlight on headlights, and that's so you don't hit a deer. Nothing more annoying than hitting a deer in your new car that's now cost me $1,000. Oh, and speaking of such, I almost forgot. You get that car just right to the point where you have to make sure there's time to drive it. You have to make sure there's time to drive it. Because you can't just roll around every day in this car. But if you did, you probably better make sure there's a security system on it. And so you buy yourself a ball python to put in the back seat in case someone gets in. And then an audible alarm for people to mess with it from the outside. And you've got the security system 9000, the ball python, and the custom paint job, and the custom seat, and the super bright kill you headlights. And you think, I gotta have time to drive this car and not do anything else. Just drive the car. It's important. You've invested a lot in it. So I'll just take a Sunday morning and I'll cruise around in my car. Because that's why they had the phrase Sunday drivers. Perfect. And so you're driving in your car and you realize, oh my gosh, what if I have to stop somewhere? What if I have to stop somewhere with this brand new car I have? And who knows what in the world could happen? What if I should get an insurance policy beyond what I normally carry for this car and see what happens? And you think the next weekend, I can't afford to buy anything for it, but I'll work on it a little bit and I'll tweak it here. And then I'll take a day off this week and then I'll get a friend to come help me with. And pretty soon you're driving a car that's worth more than your home and your neighbor's home. And where's your heart? And again, funny aside, I'm asking to be practical. Where's your heart? Your thoughts go to, your spare money goes to, your spare time goes to, your heart is hardwired to that car. Okay? And here's another one that's funny to me. Vacations. And people justify this all the time. Now, listen, same thing, okay? Am I standing up here preaching, you can't take vacation? You can't own a boat? Don't you dare have a car. None of that. Please, you're hearing me wrong if that's what you're hearing. But vacations when, hey, it's spring break and we're going to go, that's one thing. Vacations when it's, I can't wait for summer because I've been saving up $55 million bajillion so that I can do a cruise. And I looked this up just because I wanted to know what was out there. I don't know that any of you have done this. If you have, I'm not trying to insult you, okay? I'm not up here trying to hurt feelings. But I looked it up. There are, and I did not know this until I found it. I was just trying to search. I searched like Uber cruises, and they're like, Uber company wants to start cruise. Like, no. I'm like, extreme cruises, and they're like, extreme blank happens on cruise. No. Mega cruise, yes. There are world cruises. I did not know this. You can stop in 27 different countries with 59 exotic locations, and I forget, it's like 4 months at sea. You basically rent out a city that floats. It's ridiculous. It is craziness of a high order. It is to the point that I thought, if any of you are doing that, can I come along? But if you save for that, and if you plan for that, and if you go on that, and you're absent from humanity for whatever, 4 months out in the middle of the ocean, stopping at every country known to man, and you discover another one along the way, and you put the money into that, and you put the time into that, and you say, this is for my family, and great, I hope your family enjoys it, but all of a sudden, there's your heart. And if something should happen there's a hurricane out at sea and that gets canceled, you would curse heaven and everything under it that that vacation was canceled. Heaven forbid, I do not wish this on anyone, but you have on that one of those extreme situations that can happen on a cruise. Okay, food poisoning, and you and everybody around you is sick, and it becomes the barf boat while you're on this cruise. I guarantee it's going to hurt because you've put your heart into it. Your bank statement, where you spend your money, tells more about where your priorities are better than any other statement you will make. And Jesus said, where your treasure is, where you have invested your energy, your time, your money, there your heart is going to be also. Jesus did not say, you know, take your money and place it wherever and you'll be fine. Just make sure you worship me. He made a predictive statement that, as far as I can tell, is honestly true. Wherever your treasure is, your heart's going to be there also. And so that brings us to the full passage that I want to talk about this morning. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus has some words on how to make sure those things don't rule your heart. Listen, I'm going to say this. I'm begging for your attention. Eyes. Okay. I am not telling you it's wrong to have things. Thank you. I'm telling you it's wrong to let those things rule your heart, to give your time, your energy, your heart, your strength, whatever, to those things, and to scale back what you give to God. Okay? Are we clear? If you've got that, and you get that, and you know that, and you understand that, you can leave. Because that's what I'm going to say the rest of the morning. All right? But Jesus says this in Matthew 6, beginning at verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. See previous examples. Right? Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves cannot break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your... Oh, you can do better than that. I'm going to back up, try again. For where your treasure is, there your... will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. That was true in Jesus' time. It's true in our time. It's a thing with people. As long as there are people, this will be a true statement. He says, the eye is like the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. And listen to this, the next statement. I have not altered the scripture in any way. This is a common translation. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus, pretty smart guy, happens to be our Lord. Coincidentally, also the Son of God, said you cannot serve God and money. It's impossible. Can't do it. Can't be done. People say never, pfft, nope, Jesus said it, so there it is. You cannot serve God and money. So if you bear with me, let me walk you through this passage a bit, because it seems like three different sections, and I just want to talk about how it flows for a bit. Okay? Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and thieves cannot break in and steal. Don't store up your treasures on earth. Store your treasures in heaven. I think it's Luke's account. I could be mistaken, and I didn't look it up. How's that for irresponsible? Your pastor, ladies and gentlemen. But I believe it's Luke's account of this story where Jesus tells a parable along with this teaching. Okay, don't store up your treasures on earth, store them up in heaven. And I believe in Luke's account, he tells this parable with it. There's a man, and he's a farmer because they didn't have a lot of the occupations we have at this time back then. So he was a farmer, and we have that today. And he was doing well with farming. And he stored up his grain and he sold it, and he saw that he was getting great wealth. So he said, I'm going to build a bigger storage house for my grain. And he stores up more grain and he sells it. He makes more money. He's like, I'm going to build a bigger storage house for my grain. And he stores up more grain. He sells it for more money. And he says, I'm going to build the Omega Grain. And God says, hey, I want you to see what you're doing. You're storing up all your money and you're storing up all your grain so you can get more money and you're piling it up. And I'm paraphrasing, and God says to this man, your life is going to end tonight. What does all your grain and all your stored up wealth matter? What have you invested for the next life? You've placed your heart in all this earthly good. And when your life ends, what does it matter? And then in Luke's gospel, just as in Matthew's gospel, Jesus teaches, don't store up your treasures here on earth. Stuff can happen to them. Store up your treasures in heaven. I think it's an important call to store our treasures in heaven. I think it's an important call to say, let's do those things that expand the kingdom of God. Let's model those things that Jesus modeled for us. Let's make sure that we invest in those things that make life better in God's perspective. And you can have stuff on this earth. Because again, I'm not saying you can't have stuff. Okay? But don't accumulate and hoard and mound up. Because why? Well, your heart will get attached to it. Anchor your heart in the stuff of God. And then it goes on to that whole light and darkness bit. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body is full of light. If your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? This is how I see it in context. This is what I hear. Otherwise, like, Jesus had some bizarre teachings about eyes. But no, in this context, I believe Jesus was saying, what are you looking at? Where's your vision cast? What are you taking in? Because in the midst of two things talking about wealth, I see Jesus as saying, if you focus on the earthly goods, if you focus on the entertainment, if you focus on the wahaha, I can accumulate this of earth, you're going to be filled with the things of earth. Set your vision, set your sight, set your eyes on things above. Desire the things above. Seek things above. Otherwise, the darkness and the things of this earth will overtake you. It will have possession of your heart. So what are you looking at and what are you focusing on and what are you seeking after? Is it accumulating and hoarding and everything that money can buy? Are you thinking about, I can take in so much more of what God has to offer if I let go a little more of the things of earth? And then there's that teaching again about no one can serve two masters. And I hope that that's pretty self-evident. But I'm going to assume that it's not and talk you through it, because I get paid by the minute up here. Jesus says no one can serve two masters. Again, in case you missed it the first time around, here it comes. You can't do it. No one can serve two masters. Jesus says you cannot serve God and money, and that's interesting, because in that day, there was Roman occupation. The Roman Empire governed what they would have had as the known world. They were in control. They were dominant. If you wanted permission to do something, you asked the Roman government. If you wanted to go somewhere, you let the Roman officers know. If you violated the law, the Romans would tell you you violated the law. You'd expect Jesus to say, no one can serve two masters. You can serve God or you can serve Rome. But he didn't say that. You might say, well, Jesus was the Son of God, and he's thinking about all the holy God things. And you'd expect him to say, no one can serve two masters. You can either serve God, or you can serve the evil one of this world, and it's really going to be a lot cooler in the afterlife if you serve God. And Jesus didn't say that. Jesus didn't say any of those things. You know what Jesus said? Of course you do. I told you already. You can't serve God and money.